Blog Talk Radio.
everyone can hear me clearly. I hope I don't sound strange. Let's see. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to episode 133 of the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am your host, Queen Amina.
Queen Amina.
All right. And I'm hoping,
I'm hoping
that everybody can hear me fine with no drama. Feel free to text me. Let me know if I sound interesting. Hopefully I sound nice and clear. I'm trying out a new microphone system tonight. My wonderful husband brought me a whole new mic setup. So I hope that I'm coming across nice and clear. Happy New Year, family. Happy New Year. Oh, my goodness gracious. I hope everyone is doing fabulously. I hope everyone's feeling well. I know there's been a bit of a flu bug going around. So, of course, I will always encourage the family to make sure you drink a lot of water, especially alkaline water or even like ozonated water. Eat your fruits and vegetables. Okay, get your rest, get your sleep. Try not to overtax yourself. You know, I know sometimes we get used to running around and, you know, we run ourselves into the ground sometimes, but we've got to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves, all right? So make sure you're eating right and you're getting a lot of rest and you're drinking plenty of fluids. Contrary to what most people understand, flu season is actually in the summertime. It's funny that they say that it's winter, but flu season. Flu season is really in the summertime. It makes it very difficult to get rid of it, and it can spread much quicker because it's hot. Nonetheless, I just want to remind everyone to take care of themselves, all right? We are in a wonderful new year. 2024 is on and popping, family. I don't really believe in New Year's resolutions because I believe that you should be able to establish goals and plans throughout the year, you know, in your lifetime. It's up to you. I don't use the new year to say, I'm going to do this year. No, I'm just going to keep moving on my path. I'm going to continue basically with the same things I was doing last year, but just, you know, doing it better and keeping myself healthy and maintaining my household, continuing to love up on my husband and our family. You know, it's basically the same old thing for me. There are those that would contend and say that this was not the new year. The new year actually happens in spring. So, you know, we're under a Greco-Roman calendar system. It's not really 2024, okay? Even the Jewish calendar has the year. How am I?
Okay, I got the link in because
you're getting music?
Yeah.
Now?
Uh-huh.
Music is off.
Okay.
Okay, sweetheart. Thank you. All right, that was my commander-in-chief over there. I'm hoping that everything is good. Again, like, text me if you know me. Let me know if you can hear me. If you're online and you want to put it in the chat, let me know that you can hear me clearly. I pray that I'm coming across nice and clear. You should not be hearing any music right now. You should be hearing me. So feel free to shoot me a text and let me know that you can hear me okay. But in continuing what I was saying, you know, humankind has no real idea what year it is. You know, humanity has been around for hundreds of thousands of years, and so we're not going to put that on the calendar, right? We're not going to write, oh, it's, you know, the year 400,076. No, we're just going to go with what they say right now. But the main thing that you need to understand is that no matter what, don't take time for granted, all right? Tomorrow is not promised to anybody. Make sure that you're living a righteous and loving life, that you are a peaceful entity. If you want to do yourself a favor and look up the 42, yes?
Coming in good.
Good. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. I told them. I told them my husband bought me this microphone system. Yes, I did. Oh, yes, I'm sounding good, family. Let me know. But hubby says I'm sounding good, so I'm going to take his word for it. I got myself all charged up and made it happen. So, so you know, thank you. So hopefully everything is going nicely. I tell you, y'all, it's priceless. to have a support system in your life, to have a partner, a husband, or a wife, you know, in your life who's so supportive and believes in what you do. It's priceless. So I thank you, my wonderful husband. Thank you. But again, family, you know, it's 2024. Live your best life. Always shoot to do your best in all that you do, okay? I'm also going to let you all know that I am available for lectures and workshops. I have different workshops that I have designed, and I'm also available to give lectures to the community on a variety of subjects, actually. But, you know, you can always inbox me at queenamina@icloud.com. So it's queen, A-A-M-I-N-A-H, at icloud.com if you would like to book me for any lecture or workshop series. I'm very, very reasonable. I do my best to enlighten the community. I want us all to have knowledge of self. I want us to understand how our brains work and how our bodies work. And I want us to definitely, definitely understand that we are multidimensional entities and we are eternal. We have a soul and we are eternal. So definitely, you know, if you don't get it right this lifetime, you know, you're going to be coming back in another lifetime to continue to perfect yourself, you know, and because that's what we're here for, I think that we need to make that a priority. You know, there are a lot of different mechanisms and schemes that are in effect to keep us off of our game, to keep us away from becoming an enlightened entity. You know, we're in a dumbing down of the society. The entertainment industry, it's changed a lot, but a lot of what we're being given in terms of entertainment is negative. A lot of it is demonic. A lot of it is evil. And we have to be careful about what we do let into our consciousness. We have to be aware of what it is that we're choosing to experience. Excuse me. So I definitely want to stress that, again, we are multidimensional entities. We're way more amazing than we really, really understand. And I'm trying to drive this home because a lot of people are under the impression that you only live one time. Yeah, maybe you live one time in that particular body, but your soul is eternal. And every single, quote-unquote, major religion has ancient African sciences. And the ancient African sciences are what give way to a religion. I don't necessarily believe in religion. I'm not a religious person. I'm a very spiritual individual. I am in tune with my spirit. I want to make sure that I am not doing things to either retard my enlightenment in this lifetime. I've had a wonderful life, and I'm praying that once this life is over and I reincarnate into my next life, that it will be just as glorious or better. And I wish the same for each and every one of you. Again, what is always missing is that we are eternal. Our soul is eternal. And I think that because of the way our societies and systems are set up, they're not set up in a way to not only reflect this as a truth, but to encourage you to do the proper work necessary for you to evolve as an entity. You know, everything is just so haphazard. Everything is just, oh, whatever, whatever. You know, there's no concentration on what's really true in terms of like how our brains work and how we create our reality by our thought process and electrical energies that are coming from our brain. You're not hearing that. You're not going to hear that in mainstream television or the news or whatever. So I just want to encourage you to seek enlightenment for yourself. You know, like there was an amazing doctor, Dr. Joseph Murphy, PhD, and he did a lot of work on mind dynamics. I have basically every book he's ever written, I believe. And I love the fact that he stated so very plainly about how our brains actually work. And so I feel that, all right, thanks, Deb. I think that if we take a little bit of our attention away from the nonsense and the mayhem, even, you know, I mean, we watch the news and different things like that. I do have friends who are like, no, I don't watch the news because it's so much drama and there's so much BS. And that's true, too. But I do get some truth out of it once in a while. And I'm able to investigate and see what was BS and what wasn't. But when we detach from television and games and, you know, different things, and we get into ourselves and we get into how we really work, what is this experience that we're really supposed to have as human beings? You know, you've heard me, my faithful listeners who I love. Thank y'all, I love you. You have heard me say, it's not about the bag. You know, we're not here to gain fortune and fame. And if that happens, okay, fine. But that's not what we're here for. That's not what we incarnate into. We incarnate into this flesh so that we can have these experiences and we can evolve from these experiences. I hope you're following me when I'm saying this. You know, because so many people feel like if you don't have money, you're a failure. You know, if you didn't graduate from college, you're a failure. If you, you know, don't have fame and, or some level of wealth, you're a failure. And that is so far from the truth, it's not funny. And so when we look back in the past at different individuals who people have deemed as prophets, let's say, none of them were really, you know, they came to deliver a message. And that message gets so misconstrued over time, it's ridiculous. And so then what do we have? We have religion. Well, who created religion? Man created religion. Man created religion to dominate people. Man created religion to place fear in people. Man created religion to have control over people. Because in so many different instances, even in the case of Yeshua, misnamed as Jesus, Yeshua was a black man, constantly stated, you're not to worship me. Like, I'm just here to remind you that you and I and the creator of all things are one. And that just gets totally misconstrued because with the development of what we call the Roman Catholic Church, that just messes all kind of things up. Okay? Then if we go before Yeshua and we go to an individual so-called named Moshe, a.k.a. Moses, we have a similar situation, but the deep part about Moshe is that Moshe was Kemetan. Okay, I don't like to use the word Egyptian because that's a Greek word and it doesn't equate too much, but Kemet is the original name of the place we call Egypt. And yes, there were melanin-dominant people who reigned in various dynasties before the invasion of the Hyksos and the Persians and the Arabs. We had thousands of years of science that we not only studied. I mean, the ancient Kemites and the ancient, quote-unquote, African people or the Al-Kebulon people studied everything. And so what happens is with the European invasion of Kemet, you're dealing with an entity that doesn't possess the same level of, I don't want to say genius because that might not be fair, but intellect, the same level of intellect and intuition to interpret hieroglyphica and what the different entities slash deities slash energies and what they meant. And so then it all gets misnamed as saying that, oh, the Egyptians worshipped all these gods. No, they didn't worship gods. They didn't. But just as you have the 99 attributes of Allah in Islam, in Kemet are the same. The entities in Kemet deal with all the aspects of our experiences on this planet as human beings. And so, yes, they may use different animal head totems to explain something, but that one totem can have four different topics, if you will, or four different explanations. Okay, I'll give you one. All right, we have Hedheru. Okay, Hedheru is misnamed as Hathor to the Greeks. Hedheru is the entity of nurturing and motherhood. Hedheru is one of the only aspects from Kemet whose face appears on different columns. Most of the columns either represent upper or lower Kemet. They either are going to have papyrus or they're going to have lotus flowers at the top and bottom of the column. Hedheru is the only entity whose face you see. But when you look at her face, it's not really a normal face. And when you look at how her ears are very, very different. And so Hedheru is also associated with the sacred cow. Okay? We got the sacred cow in so many different faiths, not only because of the age of Taurus, the bull, but also because of provides, right? Like there's a cow in the stable when Yeshua is born in that whole story. There's a cow in the same stable of Heru when he's born from his mother or Set, which is the original virgin birth. Okay, I've talked about that story before. But I'm just trying to get you all to realize that when we look at these different faiths called Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all of them have aspects that are taken directly from ancient African science. And so I'm not trying to pop your Jesus bubble or jack up your Prophet Muhammad bubble. That's not what I'm attempting to do. But the fact that these religions have so much of a hold on people, and yet and still, if you really pan back, like if you take your nose off of the tree and you back up a little bit and you see the whole forest, do you not see where right now, in present day, at least two of the three, meaning Islam and Judaism, are in gross conflict? Now, what's interesting to me is that each of these particular, quote-unquote, religions, ain't nobody sanctified, really. Like, what we see happening to the Palestinian people by the Jewish people in Palestine, Israel right now is so barbaric. Is it not telling to you about who some of these people really are? And I'm not one getting all excited about, oh, you know, the Palestinians deserve this, the Palestinians deserve that. I don't feel that they deserve to be getting blown to smithereens right now. But at the same time, when we're talking about Arab individuals, weren't the Arabs involved in the transatlantic slave trade of African people as well? Yes. Were the Christians involved in the transatlantic slave trade of African peoples? Yes. Were the Jews involved in the transatlantic slave trade of African people? Yes. Where's the sanctimony in that? Now, it's also written in certain scripture that we, as original man, original human beings, right, being castigated, subjugated, oppressed, repressed, depressed, and every other press, right, for centuries, will have a day of reckoning, will have a coming of justice for us, because the light will be cast upon those who have done such wickedness to us. So in some ways, what we are seeing is the destruction of individuals who had a hand in not just slavery and enslavement, but even the misnomer of a racial hierarchy. In the 1700s, you had European scientists and psychologists who were deliberately contorting and distorting history, contorting and distorting who we are as the progenitors of civilization on this planet. They decide, because we're so strong and we can handle the sun and we're so muscular and we're da-da-da-da, and they know we're highly intelligent as well, okay, let's subjugate these people. Then let's create different theories, if you will, to dehumanize them. Because goodness knows, if we are attempting to continue to capture and enslave these melanin-dominant people, we have to have a storyline that will debase them and give reason as to why we can subjugate them, why we can enslave them. So you had individuals like Carl von Linnaeus, Johann Friedrich Blumenbach. These are individuals who wrote out specific theories and storylines to put melanin-dominant people at the bottom of the totem pole of humanity, knowing full well that these same melanin-dominant people are the creators of civilization. These melanin-dominant people are the individuals who educated Pythagoras and Socrates and all these other Plato and all these people who came from Greece into Kemet to study for like 30 years. And then when they take it back into Greece, you know, it seems like they created it. No, they did not. But you have to dehumanize the melanin-dominant people in order not only to get other melanin-recessive individuals to capture and enslave them, but to believe that they are to be subjugated and dehumanized because they're not human. Do not forget, in the United States of America, at the time that the Declaration of Independence was written in 1776, melanin-dominant people, who were the quote-unquote enslaved individuals in this country, comprised of, let me just put this in here, Native American, dark-skinned Native Americans, okay, and the few 4% captured Africans that were brought here to the Americas, but they have to be, you know, completely subjugated and controlled. So within this subjugation and control, what did they give us? What did they give us on Sunday? They gave us a contorted version of Christianity. You do know there was a separate Bible, which was called the Slave Bible. Now, this is a little bit hilarious to a certain extent. I'm being satirical when I say hilarious because it really wasn't. But knowing that enslaved melanin-dominant people were not allowed to read, don't forget that. So how do you give a slave Bible, i.e. a book, to enslaved individuals whom you have deemed ineligible to learn how to read? Let that marinate for a second. That's like giving an encyclopedia to a 2-year-old. And despite the fact that we were forbidden to learn how to read, we still built everything. I continue to say, the individuals that were captured from Africa, as well as individuals who were captured and separated, excuse me, from their other Native American kin, were very intelligent individuals. Because you're not going to go and kidnap and capture stupid people. That doesn't make any sense. You got a whole bunch of stupid people. What are they going to do? They ain't going to build nothing. They won't know how to do anything. So the people who were taken had great skill. They had their own level of intellect, although they may not have spoken English or known how to read or write English, they still had a skill set. This is how you get NASA and NASA's wide clothing and bedding and beds themselves and all kind of things. Okay, again, please get the book Black Men Built the Capitol. I think it's by Jesse L. Holland. This is off the top of my head. But I'm saying all this to say that we were not ignorant and stupid. We were not dumb. And so although this campaign was put out against us and the three major religions participated greatly, each one made fortunes off of this particular plan, campaign for dehumanization and enslavement of melanin-dominant people. They made so much money. And do not let any one of them tell you that they were not involved in the scheme. Because, you know, the Jewish people like to act like they had nothing to do with it. No, they had a lot to do with it. Do not forget, Cristobal Colon, a.k.a. Christopher Columbus, was a Jew. He was Sephardim, okay? He was a Sephardic Jew, okay, who was going broke and made a deal with Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand of Spain to set out on this mission to discover, quote-unquote, this new world. At the same time, just give it about 100 years and slavery is in full effect. And I'm not just talking about 1619, because you had indentured servitude prior to that. What broke up indentured servitude to a certain extent and created slavery was a particular case, I believe, in Virginia, where you had two white men and a black man who attempted to run away and leave their indentured servitude. And so when they were captured, they were given lashes. Of course, the white men were given less lashes than the black man. And the white men were given a lesser prison sentence than the black man. The black man's sentence was for life. So then a little bit after that is when they decided, wow, if we just make it easy on ourselves and enslave all of the melanin-dominant people, and not the white people, because you can tell black from white relatively easily. I'm not talking about the people who can pass. I'm just talking about how you can identify a black person next to a white person. And the kicker is that they rounded up hundreds of thousands of melanin-dominant Native Americans as well and enslaved them as well, renamed them Negro and slave. So you want to talk about getting jacked up. You want to talk about not knowing who we are and how we get all confused. And then they control the narrative because they have over 200 years to control that narrative. 200 to 300, okay? To control a narrative. And then make it against the law for melanin-dominant people to know how to read in this country. You want to talk about a plan? You wonder why we still messed up right now? You wonder why we got all kind of madness and craziness going on to this day? And I continue to say, because I gave a wonderful libation and lecture for the city of East Orange for their Kwanzaa celebration. Thank you again, city of East Orange and Brother Stanley Edwards, for having me. We're amazing and fantastic because after every single thing that we've gone through as a people, we are still here. We're supposed to be gone. We're supposed to be extinct at this point. At least that's what they were hoping, honey, that we're supposed to be extinct, and we are here. We are still here. Many of us thriving. Not all of us yet, but we coming. So I go real hard for my people. I go real hard on history, historicity, and fact and genealogy of our people, who we are, our achievements and what we've done and how we've overcome so so many things. Yes, there are so many of us in trouble. We got brothers and sisters in Congo catching hell. We got brothers and sisters in Israel. We got black Jewish people in Israel who continue to be subjugated and abused by white European Jewish people. Tell me how that makes sense. Tell me how that's righteous and sanctimonious behavior. No, it's not. You know, we have Sudanese brothers and sisters in Egypt, and I'm using that word on purpose right now because of what's going on there, who, you know, get physically abused, accosted, you know, yelled at and spat upon by the Arabs who have taken over the region in Egypt. The Sudanese people have way more of a right to be in that region than an Arab. But, you know, the Arabs were the last to conquer Kemet. And so here we are. You know, so one day, I know one day, I don't know if it's going to happen in my lifetime, in this particular lifetime, maybe in my next lifetime, or maybe the one after that. But I do know that justice will come. I do know that we will have our days in the sun, so to speak, again. I know that we will. Things cannot stay the way that they are for a couple of more hundred years. We don't have time. Too much is going on in the world. Too much is happening around us. And individuals who lack the intuition and the connection to the universe are in charge. So this is why we are seeing what we are seeing around our planet. And I am not trying to be racist or to be prejudiced or to be anything against melanin recessive individuals. I am clearly stating the facts. Melanin dominant people worldwide catch hell for melanin recessive people. And there isn't one place that I have been to on this planet where I haven't seen it. Even places I haven't been to, it's still alive and well. Okay? It's alive and well in India, Indonesia, Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, of course, the United States, all throughout Europe. Okay? Don't know too much about Greenland. But I'm just saying, we've been catching hell for a long time on a lie, on a scheme. And it continues to this day. I really didn't plan on saying all that much just now. It just kind of came out, but I guess that's what the universe wanted me to leave with. You know, but to all of my wonderful people out there, I thank you for your support. I thank you for listening to the show. I thank you for your financial contributions, those of you who have made some to my Cash App and my Zelle. I love you. I thank you so very much because, again, I do not get a check for this show, but I'm grateful for this platform because I want to be able to help free us, okay? I'm trying to free everybody. I'm trying to free melanin-dominant people from the burden of feeling inferior, and I'm trying to also free melanin recessive people from the burden of hierarchy and superficiality. If you get an opportunity, go to YouTube and check out Tim Wise. He's a white man. He's a white man who goes real hard for us, fam. Okay, he's a lecturer, he's a speaker, he's a scholar. He goes in. Also, a wonderful little old white lady named Jane Elliott. Do yourself a favor and just watch several of their presentations on YouTube, okay? You might get your wig blown back, and that's okay. We are in the era of enlightenment once again. We are in an Aquarian age. A lot is going to happen. All right, and as I always say again, knowledge reigns supreme, okay? You can't be dumb as a bag of rocks and think that whatever your opinion is what is right. No, there are facts. There is truth. There are things that exist that are true. So I encourage you all to seek truth, please. Perhaps we can eradicate such things as racism and discrimination against melanin-dominant people. Okay, and lastly, on this particular topic, I'm going to reiterate that melanin-dominant people cannot be racist. When you hear a white person or a melanin-recessive individual talk about reverse racism, honey, there's no such thing. No such thing. Why? Because racism is a construct. Racism affects every area of people activity. These areas are areas which melanin-dominant people do not control. Melanin-dominant people do not control the Federal Reserve, per se. They don't control the entire government. They don't control any world government. They don't control the CFR. They don't control, the CDC, the World Health Organization. They don't control that. They don't control education in this country or even anywhere in the world. We don't control the higher levels of religion. We ain't got no black pope right now. Have we had a black pope recently? No. Just saying. We don't control the Justice Department. We don't control how the laws are regulated against us. We don't control gerrymandering. We don't control redlining. We don't control any of these things. Perhaps one day we will, but as it stands right now, darling, we don't control any of it. That is racism. We don't control that. So when you hear someone try to talk about reverse racism and trying to say that a melanin-dominant person is being racist, no, they may be being prejudiced, but they're not being racist. Because racism is a construct which is controlled and regulated by melanin-recessive individuals. And you might have a couple of melanin-dominant people that are in it that help make it happen, help make racism happen. You might not want to hear that, but that's true. Excuse me. You know, look at Clarence Thomas. I'm just using him as an example. Just look at him. So, yeah, we got work to do. We're trying to make it happen. We're trying to, force a dialogue where we can speak about the truth. Okay? It's not a coincidence that we have members of the Republican Party changing history in the classroom, predominantly in the South. But, like anything else, it can catch on and spread like wildfire. We can't allow anyone to change our narrative. We can't allow somebody to say that slavery educated black people. What? Like, we can't allow the narrative to erase what they actually established. They're the ones that established the slave trade. And again, do not forget, every major religion was contributory and profited greatly off of the enslavement process. At that. So that was just something off the top of my head. I wanted to just kind of get off my chest. like I said, a lot going on. Now, as I go into the show tonight, number one, I don't know how many of you heard about the episode at the Bayside Mall in Miami, Florida. It was a few days ago where apparently there were sightings of 8 to 10 foot aliens. I was like, oh, okay. Of course, Instagram and YouTube and other, social media engines were definitely lit up with this particular event. The news downplayed it quite significantly, but that's what the news would do. Apparently, they had stated that there was a fight or a brawl with young people who were fighting with sticks at the mall. We didn't really see that, but we saw over 100 cop cars, 100 police cars. Now, even if you did have a bunch of students or children or whatever, teenagers fighting with sticks at a mall, 100 police cars are not going to be dispatched. Not 100. Not only that, during this particular incident, radio frequencies were interrupted. They turned the power off. The power was off at the mall. People who were trying to take videos and pictures or whatever, stuff these videos, their phones wouldn't work properly. A lot of people who were interviewed after the event by the police were pressured to change their statements. Now, again, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what happened. I know one brother discussed how he, excuse me, and his girlfriend were there, and they saw these aliens, and they looked like they were, they had a very dark, dark green type of complexion, if you will. Some of them said they didn't have fingers. They had arms and legs and a head, but not necessarily fingers and toes. One individual said that they were sort of translucent and that they could seemingly time jump, meaning that, say they were 100 feet away from you and you're running, and then the next thing you know, they're next to you. They could disappear and reappear. So I found this to be quite interesting because, you know, I know that aliens do exist. I mean, we know we got Area 51. Can't nobody go there. We know that there's underground bases and all kind of stuff happening. We do know this. It's not like this is something we don't know. But I just found it to be interesting that the aliens would pop up at the mall. One other young lady said that they looked like they were lost. I don't know. Maybe they beamed into the mall accidentally. I really don't know. But I found it to be a very interesting story, especially considering there are so many people who have done posts and videos about this particular event. And again, looking at all the cop cars that were dispatched, you don't see that many cop cars dispatched when there's a school shooting. I'm just saying. So over 100 cop cars were surrounding this mall. You know, the power went out. You know, people couldn't use the phone. Things were happening. And then there was also family that stated that they saw one of these particular aliens in their backyard and that their lights went out in their house and their television wouldn't act right. So I just find it to be interesting because I don't know if these things were holograms. You know, I don't know if we've gotten to that point. Can we do holograms, like, on the ground with us in 3D? I know that we can do holograms in the sky. I reported on this a couple of years ago about the chemtrails and how the chemtrails just happen to emit specific chemicals that are used in creating holograms. So, you know, I know there's a possibility for that to happen in the sky. But on the ground, inside of a mall, that's a reach. That's a reach. So, you know, I brought it up only because I saw too many posts on this. There's so many posts and videos on this. You know, you got the news debunking it, but the people who are actually there and experience things, when you look at them and you hear them talking, they're shot out. Like, they're like, they are frightened. They don't know what they really saw, but they all can agree that they saw these 8 to 10 foot dark green aliens. So I find this interesting. I'm going to watch the space. We'll see what happens. But I found that to be kind of interesting. All right. Next up, another situation that we have bubbling is the Cat Williams interview on the Shannon Sharp Shay Shay Room show. I watched most of the interview. It was very, very interesting. We all know that Cat Williams is a truth slayer, okay? He is going to spit the truth, whether it is comfortable or uncomfortable, whether we like it or we don't. A lot of what he said, I could definitely find truth in because I am an entertainer. I've been in the entertainment industry for majority of my life, and I have seen some very interesting things. I am aware of what people will do to gain and maintain their levels of fame. So what he said wasn't really far-reaching. Of course, he's funny when he talks about it. But I found his interview to be very powerful. Again, even when he was talking about what was going on with Bernie Mac and the Kings of Comedy, that was true as well. I heard a lot from the time when Bernie was alive about how Steve Harvey and Cedric the Entertainer would with Bernie and be jealous of him. So Kat hit that right on the head. You know, and again, the one thing I want to leave you with regard to Kat Williams is that, again, you know, when you tell the truth a lot, especially if you're a celebrity, the machine will find ways to make things happen to you, whether you are arrested a million times. You know, Kat Williams has been arrested over 36 times on stupid charges. He's never been held. He's never done time. He's always released. So it's, you know, when someone's messing with you. Okay? You know, but he's a very interesting individual. His life story is really, really interesting. You know, I believe he might be Haitian. I am not sure. I do know that when he was a young boy, his family, who is very religious, used to do missionary work in Haiti. He was a very, very smart child. He could speak different languages. He was reading fluently at 3 years old. He's a very, very intelligent individual. He's also adopted many children, okay? He has saved a lot of children from the horrors of foster care and being in group homes and things like that. So, and he's very mild-mannered about it. He doesn't really talk about that much. But I find it interesting that, again, you know, when people put your name in their mouth and they don't speak the truth about you, yes, you have the right to rebut what they're saying. And I think that was what we were really seeing. Excuse me, you've had individuals who've stolen jokes from him and different things like that and try to play him to the left and all kind of stuff. But we know he's a very, very successful comedian. And again, he's a highly intelligent man. So if you do get an opportunity to watch the interview, it was quite telling. You know, and again, when you hear about different things that go on in the entertainment industry, whether it's comedy, whether it's acting, singing, dance, whatever, there's a lot of wickedness in the industry. A lot. And so even for someone like myself, having dreams of, you know, being a singer and being da-da-da-da-da, I drew the line when I saw what they wanted individuals to do in order to be famous, in order to go platinum. Things I was like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. I'm good. Good. I am not selling my soul. I'm not going to compromise my integrity. I'm not going to disrespect myself. I'm not going to disrespect my body. Like, the stuff that goes on in the industry, and I know you all are aware to a certain extent, but the stuff that goes on in the industry is wild. It's wild. So check out Kat Williams on Shannon Sharpe's show. When you get a chance, he's on YouTube as well. Excuse me. Very, very interesting. Very, 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 very interesting. And again, I know Kat, he's going to tell it. He is not afraid to speak the truth, even though it may be unpleasant. Okay, next up. I know you all have heard about this. It was trending last week. You know, everything changes from week to week. But the former Harvard University president, Dr. Claudia Gay, was the last of the three universities, the female presidents, to resign from their posts, okay? She was the very last one. If you recall, the hearing held before Congress where each university president was questioned about response and reaction to anti-Semitism on their campuses, okay? So right now, all three of them have resigned. The president of MIT, the president of the University of Pennsylvania, and now the president of Harvard University. Now, what was interesting, because I really smell a setup, Dr. Gay was holding on to her position quite well. She, out of all three of the presidents, had the most support from her colleagues, from faculty, and students on campus at Harvard. But then suddenly, the university newspaper puts out an article about her plagiarizing a paper that she had written. I was like, what? This woman was chosen, I repeat, chosen over 6 months ago to become the leader, the president of one of America's most prestigious universities. But they would miss something like that? Really? Do you think so? They wouldn't have been made aware of plagiarism? Are we serious? And she even admitted, I believe, that out of her 300 and some odd page dissertation, that I think she forgot to quote fully, but she did put it in the footnotes. Nonetheless, they want to use this as the reason for making her resign. Now, what's deep is that the wife of the billionaire hedge fund manager, okay, who was credited with leading the charge to oust Claudine Gay from Harvard University, is on the defensive after a new report claims that she herself, this wife, plagiarized her doctoral dissertation. Stay with me. According to an article in News One, the report comes days after Gay tendered her reluctant resignation as president of the prestigious Ivy League school in Cambridge, Massachusetts, after facing relentless claims of anti-Semitism and, more recently, plagiarism led in part by Bill Ackman. Now, this is what's ironic, because this wife is married to Ackman. In Business Insider, the report stated that Thursday afternoon, they found, quote, similar patterns of plagiarism by Ackman's wife, Neri Oxman, who became a tenured professor at MIT in 2017. Business Insider added, quote, Oxman plagiarized multiple paragraphs of her 2010 doctoral dissertation. Business Insider also found that including at least one page directly lifted from other writers without citation, end quote. Oxman, who is a tenured professor at MIT, all but admitted that she plagiarized. But in doing so, she both defended her actions and portrayed herself as a victim. What else is new? Suggesting that Business Insider didn't give her enough time to review the questionable, if not completely omitted, citations, Ackman wrote a lengthy mea culpa on social media app formerly known as Twitter, defending herself from what appeared to be valid accusations of plagiarism. She herself says, quote, I omitted quotation marks for certain work that I used, end quote. Oxman admitted in the social media post on Thursday, shortly after Business Insider's report was published. So after the article came out, she wants to say, yeah, I admitted some quotation marks. It's actually a lot of quotation marks. This is the BS, okay? Absolute BS. And this is about Republicans like Elise Stefanik, who are beholden to AIPAC and other Jewish organizations that have donated money to their campaigns. This is about many right-wing Republicans lining their pockets and taking exclusive family trips to Israel fully paid by these Jewish organizations. So it basically means that they're going to do their bidding. They're going to be the henchman who's going to make sure that the Jewish Zionist movement will remain successful despite who it may discredit, ruin, or humiliate. So between Oxman gunning for the resignation of Dr. Gay as well as another individual by the, I can't remember his first name right now, I'm off the top of my head, his last name is Rofu. He is the one who is in charge of the college in Florida, as well as doing the bidding of the Republican agenda to change and alter African-American history and slavery and everything. He is fierce with it. Okay, he's another henchman. All right, he's down with Ron DeSantis and that movement to just end, quote-unquote, woke and all this kind of stuff. All right? So, you know, we really got to wake up and be aware of the madness that's happening so that it can be stopped. You know, I found it to be very disheartening, extent to which they went to discredit Dr. Gay and force her resignation. Now, even she herself came out with an article, I believe in maybe the New York Times, or I can't be sure about which news outlet she wrote a very extensive article about how what happened at Harvard was not just about her. And I believe that we can see that, you know, because not only did you have this young, intelligent black woman as president of Harvard University, you also had two other women who were the presidents of other prestigious universities. You know, MIT, a very prestigious college, as well as the University of Pennsylvania. So, you know, the Republican Party has issues with women running anything, and especially a young black woman being the president of Harvard University. I mean, I guess they really had their panties in a bunch over it. If you watched the congressional hearing, it was a farce. It was a mess. I feel like it was done just to put pressure on these three women and make them resign. So when they decide to gang up on someone and push the envelope, whether it's a lie or not, we have to be careful of that. We've got to really be aware of when these things are happening so that we can either fight against it, okay, and stop it. The way they move, sometimes it's a little secret, sometimes it's not. But the way that they move when they decide that they're going to take somebody down is amazing. And they have been successful in the removal of three female university presidents with one fell swoop. So I think that that's really, really interesting. And don't forget, they were removed, or they were brought before Congress in the hearing because, again, these individuals who have AIPAC in their pocket wanted to push the envelope about anti-Semitism on these different campuses. And so they wanted them, each president, to ensure the safety of the Jewish students on campus and blah, 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 blah. And, again, the irony for me was we don't see this happen when African-American students are attacked or targeted, or if there's nooses hanging. We don't have congressional hearings over that. We don't have congressional hearings over Asian students, you know, being taunted or being picked on. We don't get these hearings. But yet you want to hold a congressional hearing with three top university female presidents about anti-Semitism? And so when they do not answer the way you want them to, you push, push, push for them to resign. And in this latest case, you bring up plagiarism in a way where it makes it look like Dr. Gay is a liar and that she would just cite things in her papers without giving credit to anyone. Brothers and sisters, when you are doing a dissertation, it's hundreds of pages. Okay? You are going to cite from many different sources. And sometimes she did have the information in her footnotes, but because it wasn't in quotation marks, they want to call her a plagiarizer. And again, you don't think that the Harvard Board of Review, upon looking at her as a candidate to become president of their university, wouldn't have seen anything in her dissertation or in her record or anything? So you know this is BS. Female president that was forced to resign, you know this is BS. So again, I just say, please, we either come together, we have to realize the enemy that we're up against in certain situations. We have to realize when certain individuals are receiving money and benefits and payment and what have you from outside organizations, so they're going to do their bidding. We have to see that for what it is. And I was so upset when I learned that she resigned, that she was going to, you know, write her a letter of resignation and just be like, I'm done with it. Because she was holding out. She was the only one out of the three that had so much support from her colleagues and other students and what have you at the university. So then who decides that, oh, she, you know, who's going to go back into her dissertation and find this lack of quotation marks in one particular instance? Meanwhile, you got, what's her name, Neri Oxman, who has a multitude of missing quotations and being able to cite the material in her dissertation. She even admits that she omitted quotation marks for certain work. She was a professor at MIT. It's very interesting to me. It's very, very interesting to me. And I don't know if you all remember either my last episode or not the last, episode before last, when I was going into how much money different Congress people and senators receive from AIPAC. So those people are always going to do the bidding of AIPAC on behalf of Israel and Jewish citizens of America. That's really deep. And you could do yourself a favor and Google that. Find out who's on the payroll. Like, you know, follow the money, in other words. I hope that Dr. Gay will find a better position and that she'll be respected for her intellectual prowess and leadership. I really, really do. The other two women, I'm sure they'll find something. They're white. I'm sure they'll find something. But the campaign against Dr. Gay went way too deep. They really, really, really went out of their way to make sure she was going to resign. And that's sad. That's very, very sad. On to my next subject. I'm sure you all are aware of the flight manifest list of Jeffrey Epstein, if you're paying attention, because the names of some of these folks are under house arrest right now. Quote-unquote important people are being given a number instead of using their actual name. And there are so many individuals on this list. Now, I read the list to you a few episodes ago. However, I recently viewed several different interviews and posts from various women who were young girls at the time, and they were a part of Epstein and Maxwell's stable, so to speak. Several of them stated that there were many individuals slash clients who were Jewish, and they participated in the underage assault of young women and young men at Pedal Island. Now, again, I always say pan back so you can really, really see the big picture, because both Maxwell and Epstein are Jews. Maxwell's father was Mossad, which is like the Jewish CIA, for the Israeli CIA to a certain extent, okay? So both Maxwell and Epstein were Jews, and they were catering to the fetishes of wealthy men and women who were Jewish, and some non-Jews too, but in their other private parties, like not necessarily individuals who were on the flight manifest, because you got other wealthy people who had their own yachts, planes, and helicopters, and they could come and go as they wanted to. So they wouldn't really be on the flight manifest, if you're following me. Okay? Nonetheless, there were many, many Jewish people who were participating in these ungodly acts with these children, and they viewed the children as being subhuman. Why? Because the children were not Jewish. One young girl was talking about how she overheard another woman speaking to another girl about another girl saying, well, how come you keep calling her nobody? How come you keep saying that she's nothing? And the reply was, because she's not Jewish. So she's not worthy. She's not a real human. She's subhuman. Even Virginia Giuffre and other individuals that led the prosecution against Epstein and Maxwell, they talked about it. It's just interesting to me that you have all these children abducted and taken to this island or taken to his various properties, whether it's Florida, whether it's Manhattan, or on the island itself. Not one of these children is Jewish. So therefore, it's okay for them to be abused. I was like, ooh. I'm literally putting all these things together, because when you hear these different testimonies and you hear these different videos and interviews, it's very intense. And the way that they were treated, it wasn't, in many instances, it wasn't even just like a regular rape, whatever a regular rape could be considered as, but the things that were done to these children, especially on the island. Let us not forget, even in the Manhattan house that Epstein had, even there, stated that he needed to have sex maybe 7 times a day. I don't know who can have sex 7 times a day, but okay, 7 times a day. We know who was addicted to his root chakra, but 7 times a day, and each girl had to be different. So think about this. He's basically having sex with 7 underage girls per day. I know, it's a lot to wrap your head around. But just think about that for a second. In some of the interviews, a couple of the women even stated about how Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, was worse than Epstein. She, too, sexually abused young girls and boys. She was the ringleader, okay? She was the madam. She was the one who would lure these young girls under the guise of being a model or an actress and bringing them to his different properties, and then they would then be trapped. They would sometimes take their ID, or a passport or whatever. They have no ID, and now they're just like a sex slave in the house. So Maxwell herself was also abused. She wasn't just bringing them in, but she was also abusing these girls and boys. And yeah, I said boys. There were two young boys who were used as sex slaves on the island. Okay? Two of them, I don't know if they're related, I don't know what their situation was, but they did a post recently showing themselves, and they were all tattooed and pierced up. They looked really, really strange. They were speaking with some type of accent. I couldn't understand what they were saying, really. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't even know how to speak that well because they had been captured when they were little boys. So it's not like you go to charter school or you know, you're homeschooled during this process. You are basically just a sex slave or whatever it is that these people come to do. Okay, so again, I don't think anyone's getting English literature, science, mathematics. I don't think they're getting any of that. So when I saw this post with the both of them, it was very unsettling. They look crazy and demonic. By the end of the post, they kiss each other. Gross. And it was just more evidence as to the damage that has been done to so many young people. Again, we're not even talking about one place. We're talking about at least three different locations where, you had young people torture babies, sometimes sacrifice them. All of this was going on under the control of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. And don't forget about what I said regarding these children not being Jewish, and therefore it was okay for them to be abused. Okay? And do not lose the fact that these were very powerful Jewish people. Okay? Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein, and many, many of their clients were wealthy Jewish people, and they were abusing these children sexually, physically, mentally, every type of way. So, yeah, you got Hollywood stars and politicians that are on the list. But I found it very interesting when one of the young girls was talking about a particular event that they had had, and she was hungry. So she asked Ghislaine for something to eat, and she was refused because she was Jewish. You can't have that food because you're Jewish. I mean, you're not Jewish. What? What is really going on here? Because when I first learned about the Epstein story, definitely I was aghast. I was like, wow, this is heavy to the guy. Then I learned about Ghislaine Maxwell. I remember when they went to arrest her. And then I found out that she was Jewish as well and that her father was Mossad. And I was like, oof, this gets deeper than I thought. But then to go to the extent to find out that these young girls and boys were accosted and abused in this way and that these people felt like it was okay because the children were not Jewish. Think about that for a second. So again, spread out a little bit and just look at the world, okay? And look at what's going on in these different places with these conflicts. Now, whether it's the conflict in Russia between Russia and Ukraine, excuse me, the conflict in Ukraine with Russia, and how, some of the Russians have said that not only did they want to get the land back, but they also want to eradicate the Ukrainian Jews. Okay. Then we see the opposite happening in Palestine, where you've got the assault of the IDF against Palestinian people under the guise that they're looking for Hamas, but, knowing damn well Hamas ain't there. But look at what's really happening. Look at the Israeli hostages that were taken. Many of them were murdered But it was really good. Army. Not just the three that came running out with no shirts on, waving white flags, trying to say, you know, we're Israeli, but other individuals. Now, what kind of hostage negotiation do you do where the result is that the people who you're supposed to be rescuing, you wind up killing? Did you really care about them in the first place? What is really going on? And we know that they have a huge mess on their hands over there, because if you look at Israel, just go to the map and look at Israel, quote, quote, you know, / Palestine, it's a very small area compared to the rest of the Islamic world. So if you want to rope in Syria, Lebanon, Iran, Iraq, Qatar, you know, even the United Arab Emirates, if you want to smush that in, you got problems. Even Egypt right next door, you're outnumbered grossly. So, yes, that's a space that we're watching. You know, we're hearing new things all the time. But my other question might go back to, what was it that Jewish people were doing in Europe to make the Europeans hate them? What happened? What happened? The other thing I want to bring to your attention is, why is it always called anti-Semitism when there's some type of situation where someone doesn't agree with a Jewish person, or they want to lay claim to the Judaic faith? You know, when a black man says that he is the original Jew, the Anti-Defamation League says that he's being anti-Semitic. How is that? How is it that everything that Jewish people or the ADL or Israel don't agree with, you get labeled as being anti-Semitic? We're watching an ethnic cleansing. We're watching an actual genocide in real time with the Israeli Defense Force against the Palestinian people. We're watching a real genocide in real time. How is it that you get to blow people to smithereens, their country off of a map, authorize the raping and killing of Palestinian girls and women, but you want to cry victim all the time? How do you do that? Are we not hip to that yet? I know I am. It's amazing to me. It's like you see two people. One person slaps the other person in the face real hard, but the person who does the slapping says that they're the victim. How does that work? We're not stupid. I know, I know what I'm seeing. I know my husband and I have these discussions. We know what we're looking at. We know what's happening. How do you get to cause displacement? You've leveled buildings, hospitals, mosques, schools, but you keep crying victim. How is that working? And again, I'm going to shed light on this, because the Republican Party wants to have a fit over Biden, you know, sending money over to Israel. Now, as we said before, America has been in support of Israel since 1948. America has been giving millions of dollars to Israel for decades. Now, what's wild to me is the president at this time was Donald Trump, Wouldn't they be giving him the money? Because they follow everything he asks for? Because, again, do not forget, he's pro-Israel. To me, he's more pro-Israel than Biden. Trump is very, very pro-Israel. I've mentioned before there were rumors that he actually became Jewish. I don't know if this happened or not, but I know with his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, working for him while he was president, solidifying deals, blah, 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 getting billions of dollars. He got billions of dollars from the Saudis, and he did a lot of negotiating with the Israeli government. Ivanka Trump, Trump's daughter, she became Jewish. Do not forget that Donald Trump is pro-Israel. All this flack we see the Republican Party giving Joseph Biden about giving money to Israel, I'm just saying, switch the people. Do you think that they would not give the money to Trump? They would give the money to him. Now, I don't really think it's a good idea for us to be supplying Israel with millions of dollars when they're committing a genocide against these people. And I'm not a pro-Palestine person. I'm just looking at what I see. If I see people getting bombed, you know, people who've been displaced and ostracized since a little bit before 1948, okay, and then all of a sudden, you know, in Germany, the Balfour Report and the Balfour meeting, the result of that meeting is that Israel is going to be a state, and that European Jewish people who have been persecuted and, you know, blah, 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 and they just are trying to come back from the Holocaust and blah, 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 with what happened in Nazi Germany and da-da-da-da-da-da, that they now can go and have a haven in Palestine and just rename it Israel. If you take a look at the areas in Israel, quote, unquote, where the Palestinians have been smashed into, whether it's Gaza or the West Bank. Like, you took these people's country. You took it. Now, I told you before, the Arabs took the country from North African people way before 1948, of course. But what we're seeing now is just a gross genocide. And it really is not okay. And it should not be allowed to continue. When we listen to Benjamin Netanyahu and we listen to his other little cronies and what have you, like, they're hell bent on killing every Palestinian. How is that all right? And why would they not think that that could bring about war? I mean, real war. Not just because their assault against the Palestinians and the onslaught, that's just been coming from them. Okay, whatever happened October 7th and other little incidents compared to what's actually happened to the Palestinian people since 1948, it doesn't compare. But goodness knows, they don't want, I know Israel does not want an attack from Iran or Iraq or Syria or anywhere. They don't want an attack. They don't want, hello, they don't want that. So right now they're pummeling the living daylights out of Palestine. And or the Palestinians, but I don't know how they think that that's not going to have retribution. And although certain Arab countries might be a little quiet right now, it does not mean that they're blind. It doesn't mean that they do not see and that maybe one day they will all retaliate against Israel. Because I just think it's just so interesting to me. It's very, very interesting to me. Mm-mm-mm. Also, please understand, the grand narcissist himself, Donald Trump, he is also named on that flight manifest in the Epstein case. He's on the flight manifest seven times. Seven. I was like, word? Seven? Seven. You know, again, no secret that he was running with Jeffrey Epstein and they were pals and what have you. You know, he had once told the New Yorker magazine, quote, oh, he's a lot of fun to be with. It's even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side, no doubt about it. Jeffrey enjoys his social life, end quote. This is what he told the New Yorker magazine. You know, he's in countless photos with him, blah, 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 blah. You know, so we're going to see what happens. Also, this is what tripped me out the other day. I don't know if you all have seen his new ad. Donald Trump has a new ad, and it's entitled, quote, "And God Made Trump." I was like, what? It's very long, and it's quite frightening. And to insinuate that God made Trump to be America's political savior is downright scary. They want us to believe that the Almighty Most High actually created a lying, raping, incestual, abusing, cheating, misogynist, racist, multiple felons, narcissistic psychopath to save America? Seriously? Now, I know that the Most High has created all of us. I know that. But I doubt highly that Trump was created to save America. An individual who is facing 91 felony counts, including sexual assault, stealing and holding classified documents, and engaging in insurrection, just to name a few. He's supposed to be our angelic political savior? How about no? More recently, this came out last week, that he's found to have taken almost $8 million from at least 20 foreign governments and diplomats, including China, different princes, prime ministers, and premiers all paid Trump while he was in office. He was caking out for like at least 2 years while he was president. It is against the law for presidents and judges, we're not going to talk about the judges right now, but it's against the law for presidents to take money or gifts from any foreign entity at all unless it is approved through Congress. You know, Boo-Boo did not go to Congress to ask them, can I have this few million dollars? You know he didn't ask anybody for anything. He just took the money. So we can add this to the list of offenses against this country that this individual has committed. And I don't know if y'all heard this one, but apparently former President Donald Trump stinks. Now, I knew it all the time because he just looked like he didn't smell good to me, but, you know, I thought maybe it was just, you know, the repetitive wearing of the blue suit because he wears it like it's a uniform, you know, but of course he was never a soldier. And it was decades since he was in military school wearing a uniform, so he just always looks like he's wearing the same blue suit to me. Nonetheless, it's not just a funky suit. It came out 2 weeks ago that he does not have control over his bowels. The term Diaper John is trending. This story has been corroborated by several individuals who worked with him on Celebrity Apprentice and The Apprentice. Apparently, he soils himself all the time. I was like, no wonder Melania isn't around. He smells. He is a duty booty. I cannot make this up. Several former staff members have also admitted this. And they say that due to his drug taking back in the day and his taking of Adderall, that now he no longer has control over his sphincter in his anus, and so he has to wear a diaper. And it's not a secret. He has soiled himself in meetings. He was in a meeting with the Turkish president, Erdogan. And he was also in meetings with other heads of state. And I'm not making fun of incontinence at all, but for someone who consistently makes fun of President Biden for being old, he has nerve. For someone who wants to seem like they are so perfect, I think that's a bit ironic. Okay? Individuals have said that he smells like hairspray and doo-doo. I was like, work. Now, one would also think that for someone who has no bowel control, that they would change their diapers more regularly, right? They would change the diaper as soon as it happens. But no, he just sits in his own excrement for hours during important meetings and conversations. So this was major news for me because I really didn't know. I did think he had a big butt, but I thought that was from McDonald's. I really didn't think that it was because he has a diaper. Nonetheless, before that, we cannot let him back into our White House. Okay? He's beyond an embarrassment. I cannot imagine what his housekeeping staff must go through. And again, I said, no wonder Melania nor the boy are around because he smells. I found that story to be quite interesting. That was another one that was trending about 2 weeks ago, and it was all over. I was like, oh, my goodness. I probably need to learn how to end on a high note. I'll try to turn it if I can. But I know that it's a very unfortunate subject. I spoke on this last year as well as a few years ago. And hangings and lynchings have not gone anywhere. Several situations have occurred from 2023 and back a bit. All right? In 2023, you had Nevian Baker from Orlando, okay, found hung. You had Robert Fuller. Robert Fuller was a 24-year-old African-American man who was found hanging from a tree in front of the city hall in Palmdale, California. His death was ruled a suicide by Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Fuller's family has been stating that it was not a suicide. His sister said that he was not suicidal or depressed. So city officials announced that they supported an independent investigation into his death. Next you had Malcolm Harsh. Malcolm Harsh was 38. He was found dead on May 31st. His case is being reviewed by the FBI and the Department of Justice after the body of Robert Fuller had been found hanging from a tree in Palmdale, California. These two horrific events occurred in two different public spaces in California, and the incidents happened 10 days and 50 miles apart. Rasheem Carter. Rasheem Carter was the 25-year-old black man from Fayette, Mississippi, found dead last year. His alleged death is a modern-day lynching, according to his family. They have accused local police of failing to investigate the crime. And Carter had warned that he was being pursued by white men in trucks before he vanished. You all might remember this story because I've talked about this before. The police have insisted that there's no evidence to suggest there was any foul play, and they've also speculated that animals may have ripped Carter's body up. But Carter's mother, Tiffany Carter, said during a press conference of March of 2023, that her son called her on October 1st of 2022. This was the day before she reported him missing. And she said, my son told me it was three truckloads of white guys trying to kill him. She said this, explaining that she told him to go to the local police station in Taylorsville, Mississippi for help. She told local station WDAM in December that her son wanted a ride back to Laurel where he lived, but police would not drive him back. According to the police, they didn't help him. when he said, I would like a ride back home. And the chief of Taylorsville police later told WDAM that he didn't assign a police officer to return Rasheem home because of staff shortages. Tiffany Carter said her son texted her to say he and a business owner, whose identity she didn't reveal, were not seeing eye to eye. Her son went on to say, if anything happened to me, he's responsible for it. I'm too smart, Mama. He's got these guys wanting to kill me, Rasheem texted, according to his mother. Tiffany Carter described her son to Insider as a great man and an entrepreneur who loved to cook and always wanted to leave a legacy for his 7-year-old daughter. Now, this one goes back a bit, but we have the case of Lennon Lacey. This is in North Carolina. Lennon Lacey, was a student attending West Bladen High School in Bladenboro, North Carolina. On August 29th of 2014, at 17 years old, he was found dead, hanging from the frame of a swing set in the center of a mobile home community. The white woman who called 911 said very plainly, he hung himself. I was like, really? The death was initially declared a suicide by North Carolina's chief medical examiner, but Lacey's family believed that he had been lynched. Lacey, who was black, had been dating a white girl who also believed Lacey had been murdered and who claimed neighbors had warned her that their interracial relationship was, quote, not right, end quote. In December 2014, the FBI announced that it would investigate. In June of 2016, the conclusion of the FBI investigation was announced, having found no evidence to pursue federal criminal civil rights charges. Lastly, we have the case of Yolna Lubrin. This was a black woman found hung behind a sex offender's house, a known registered sex offender's house. One of the residents of the house stated that although they had seen the body hanging in the backyard, they did not call the police because they had to go to work. However, they did make time to go outside and film a video of this young woman hanging in a tree. There was no search of the premises at all. Now, this is the deep part. Her driver's side window was smashed in. So are we to believe that she smashed in her own window before going to a random backyard in a white person's house to hang herself? She had also had a bag packed with clothes in it, but the clothes were strewn all about the yard. This storyline makes no sense. It makes no sense. And in each instance, everyone is saying that everyone is a suicide. Even with regard to Nevin Baker and Yolna Lubrin, the same police detective, Patrick Cavanaugh, was assigned to both cases and has listed both hangings as suicide. Now, I remember when I spoke about this a few years ago because I was talking about after I had watched a lecture by Dr. Joy DeGroy and how she had received an envelope full of photographs of young black men who had been hanged. And they were modern day lynchings. You could tell by their clothes and what they had on. You know, it was current to the timeline. And she was in her book, Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. You know, she talks about how we have to deal with that. But in her presentation, she was basically stating that the abuse, the racial abuse that melanin-dominant people continue to experience goes all the way to the extent of hanging, and how you have people who thought that hanging is just associated to a time in, say, you know, 1895. But it happens. It happens to this day. And even maybe about a month ago or so, maybe a month and a half ago, there was a video. It was a TikTok video, but it was also on Instagram. And it had the actual video of a young black girl being hung in somebody's basement somewhere in this country. You could not see the faces of the assailants. You could hear them, but you couldn't see them. But you could see this, the process of hanging this young girl. They strung her up on a pipe in the basement and hung her and took her life. And, you know, I've been telling y'all, protect your children, right? I have been talking about, you know, have a check-in time. Even if you have a college student, you know, have them check in. Have a specific time where you all communicate with each other so you know that you're all right. You know, there was the case of the 15-year-old black girl in North Carolina who left her house to go to school and was never, ever seen again. We have way too many cases of missing children, missing people, and assault and murder against young people, people of color, period. Just melanin-dominant people, period. Nothing has really gone away. And in some instances, it seems like it's getting worse. And my husband and I had this conversation about, you know, how the news is so terrible and blah, 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 blah. But I also realized that in this age of information, we're able to get these stories about criminal activity all throughout the country or even overseas, you know, on our phone. So I don't know if more bad stuff is happening. I just know that more of it is being posted. More of it is being written about, you know. So I don't know if it's more instances of this type of violence or if it's just that we are, you know, we're hearing about everything happening everywhere, right? Back in the day, we didn't always know what was going on in Nigeria or Bangladesh or Beijing or, you know, Sydney, Australia. We didn't know necessarily what was going on in real time. We didn't know that. We didn't have Instagram and Twitter and TikTok and all these things to be able to see what's going on in real time, not just in this nation, but all around the world. We didn't know. We didn't have it. So now that we have it, it definitely makes it seem as if we're all doomed because, you know, everyone's being killed and everyone's this and everyone's that. My thing is I don't know if it's more or less, but I just know that we're being exposed to more of it. So don't let it drive you crazy. Don't let it make you spiral into depression, okay? Like I said, I have friends that deliberately don't watch the news and deliberately don't participate in things because they don't want to enter this negative information into their psyche and their cipher. Like, they don't even want to hear it. They don't want to see it. They don't want to hear it. And I can understand that. I can, you know, I can get where they're coming from. At the same time, I know I need to know what's going on. Good, bad, and indifferent. You know, and then continue in my way to make my life as positive as I can. You know, so it was just interesting to me that I had seen this one post about all these different hangings of these, you know, melanin-dominant people, male and female, and how that was consistent with the other horrific video I saw of the hanging of this young girl. I'm gonna try to get rosy now. I'm gonna try to turn this around because I know that again, energy is everything, and everything is energy. And when we take it upon ourselves to emulate and emanate positive energy and love for ourselves, for our family members and our spouses and for the world, we can shift the vibration, okay? We are in a very interesting time where even humanity seems to be cleansing itself. But where you sit in the time is up to you. And if you realize, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that your consciousness, your brain has the control over your life, and that it is important for us to take time out to meditate before my feet the floor, before I get out of bed when I wake up. I meditate on love and happiness and joy. I give thanks for my life. I give thanks for being able to open my eyes. I give thanks for my husband and my family. And I look forward to enjoying a very positive and beautiful day, regardless of the weather. Every day above ground is a beautiful day. And I'm aware of the fact that there are a multitude of souls who did not make it to the morning, that did not make it into the new day. You know, peace be upon their souls. But I know I'm still here. And so as long as I know I'm here, I'm in the game. I have control over what I think. There are times when, yes, I do get sad. I am human. Sometimes I just jot my thoughts down, or I just go into notes and just, you know, talk about how I'm feeling at the moment, and, you know, I'll be my own counsel. But I'm very grateful for this experience and knowing that my brain is controlling my reality because of how I think and what I think. Not only does that make me responsible for my life, but it helps me to plan better days every day. And, you know, my husband always says communication is the key. You know, so, you know, we talk a lot. We spend a lot of time together, and we talk a lot. And we know that we need to be open and communicate with each other about how we're feeling and different things. Again, we're human. Having a partner that you can express yourself with is very, very important. Otherwise, you don't really need to be partners. You know, so you should be able to tell each other how you feel, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. You should be able to share your feelings and your thoughts as calmly and clear as possible. But just realize that, again, you, yourself, as an individual entity, are controlling your reality with your brain. The grasp. There are people who want to give it all to God. But I'm like, if you really knew what God was, you wouldn't say that. Because the Most High is living through us. The Most High is experiencing through us. But we're the ones making the choices, not the Most High. We're making the choices. If we want to be happy and joyful, then we need to focus on that a bit more. And we need to engage in things that make us feel happy and joyful. We must know our limitations and our boundaries. My husband likes horror movies. I don't. My psychosis is set up differently. I can't handle it. So I don't even get down too much. I know that he knows that he creates his world, and he's a very loving and positive person. This is what is important, and this is what we need to be doing if we realize that we can change our world. We have the power to do that. So with all the wildness that we see going on in the world, when we do come together and emanate positivity, we can change the outcome to be way more positive and beautiful. So with that, I want to thank everybody for being on with me tonight. I want to thank my husband for his support and, of course, this wonderful new microphone setup. I'm grateful. I hope you all heard me really, really well. I should be on next Monday, next Moonday. But have a wonderful week ahead. Be amazing and fantastic. Be a good human being. Love one another. Love yourself. All right? Peace, love, and light, and joy and happiness to you all. Happy New Year, family. All right? One love. Thank you, Dr. Winborn. Family, peace and light.
Teach them how they must soar.